And there we are, live on Facebook, on Twitch, on YouTube, on Twitter, I believe, and also on blasttheradio.com. Welcome to It's Your Call, and it is. It's always your call. This is my search for common ground. Hi there, it's John Milkey, the Milkman, the show brought to you by McCarthy Automotive, putting the good under your hood, 1150 Heron Road, McCarthyAutomotive.ca. Here are the phone numbers, the contact information, etc. 613-604-6464. You can call, you can text that number, 613-604-6464. It would probably be helpful if I actually turned that on my phone. There we go. We're good to go. And itsyourcall.ca is the website. Remember, there's no apostrophe in that. It's your call, itsyourcall.ca. Got a video camera link there too. So if you want to come on and share your thoughts via video link, you can do that. If you're uncomfortable being seen on video, just leave the microphone on, turn the video off. That is cool, too. I'll be honest. Today, I really expected I would be here and we would be going over all the findings regarding the LRT in Ottawa. And that is a conversation I intend to have with you. But I also, this morning, almost sarcastically, but I guess in a roundabout kind of way, it bothered me enough, I had to say it. Our prime minister and weighing in on the Chinese people's right to protest, which I don't think there's any disagreement amongst us as it pertains to that. I think we all wish that the people in China would have the right to protest. They don't. That's kind of why we look at China the way we look at China and North Korea and other places where they have dictators in charge. They do not have the right to protest. So to hear the prime minister weigh in saying, well, let them protest, they should. Yeah, agreed. However, and this is why we're not talking LRT today. It bothered me, and here's why. All of the conversations surrounding the convoy, which was, in my opinion, and as I'm learning as this day goes on, there are an awful lot of people out there who refuse to call that convoy a protest. Occupation is one term I've heard. Illegal, some have said. Okay, fine. That's your opinion. Let's clear the air right now. I want your opinion. And on this show, it's okay if you and I have differing opinions. What I want is to hear yours and for you to hear mine and the opinions of others, and maybe each of us budge just a little bit towards some kind of center point, common sense, if you will, common ground, even better. That's what I'm searching for on this show, some common ground. It was also said to me, by the way, In an earlier comment, after I posted my comments, okay, so Prime Minister Trudeau, Chinese should have a right to protest. Also, Prime Minister Trudeau, no protesting in bouncy castles in Ottawa. All right, I was being a little silly, a little goofy there. I'll give you that. And then Bill C-11, what? You dare call me out on this? Okay. And a lot of people had very definite opinions on that. And that's great. I welcome the opinions. What I don't welcome is the name calling and the you're an asshole. Here's what I've discovered today. People really don't like it when John Milkey doesn't stick in his lane. Wait, isn't he the guy that used to do the poo-poo and fart jokes on the radio between the songs? Yup. Do you really think for a second, though? Oh, this is the one that got me. All I'm doing on this show is regurgitating Lowell Green's thoughts on the world. Okay, let's address that. And I suspected, and I've suspected for a long time, that will come up. And it's going to come up time and time again. Let me say this right here, right now. I'm a grown-up. I can have had my own opinions on the world. In some instances, I actually agree with Lowell Green. FYI, in some instances, I absolutely do not agree with Lowell Green. I get it. I'm associated with Lowell because this was his time slot. This was, you know, he was doing a show here. He was on my radio station, a radio station that I've spent 6 years building. And by the way, it's not really a radio station. It's a platform. It's an outlet. I get it. It's death by association, for lack of a better word. Okay? I believe that everybody has a right to be heard. Lowell, the Nick and Joe show, the LGBTQ+2S community, who I have on here doing programming as well. Everybody has a right to be heard. You have a right to your thoughts. You have a right to your opinions. You're not more right than me. I'm not more right than you. Your opinions are yours. I just want to hear what they are, and I want to have conversations. I want this to be a place where at the end of the day, we have these conversations. You're on one side, I'm on another side. Maybe we're on the same side. But you know what? Once we're done sitting at the table having these conversations, we can raise a glass, say cheers, give each other a hug, and see you tomorrow. Why do we all have to be right? I'm not here to be right. I'm here to ask questions. Educate me. Educate me is what I'm saying. Give me your opinions. Share with me what you're seeing in the world. So, and I got a couple of calls coming in. Please be patient. If you can hear me on the phone, and I know you can hear me on the phone, you're on hold right now. I'll get to you in just a second. So LRT is not the conversation today. The conversation just won't go away. That being the convoy, I call it a protest in Ottawa. Today, like I said, I remarked on Facebook how ironic it was that our prime minister would talk about the Chinese people being permitted to protest regarding COVID mandates in their country. And again, I agree they should be permitted to. The reality is they're not. They don't live in a democracy like you and I do. Okay? And I find it ironic because the PM also just testified at an ongoing inquiry as to whether or not his government's use of the Emergency Measures Act was justified to break up the convoy. Again, I call them protests. I'm learning through you that some of you don't view these as protests. Okay, well, that's the basis for this conversation. In our country, I don't think there's any disagreement. We have the right to protest. Yes. People have died to protect that right. Yes. My comment has been met with all kinds of opposition. All right. The arguments and the comments I've received, in my opinion, however, do not justify breaking up what I see. I'm allowed to have an opinion. I see this as a protest. Okay, people say, oh, I know people who they faced racial slurs and sexual insults. Okay, that's awful. That's absolutely horrific. I don't want that for anybody. But if we're being real and being honest with each other, that's not illegal. It's inappropriate. It's disgusting. It's uncomfortable. It's not illegal. There are lines that can be crossed that make it illegal. Oh, I missed an appointment. I couldn't go here. I couldn't go there. Is that not an inconvenience? And yes, and listen, there are some of these appointments that were missed. I'm sure that were, you know, very important. Perhaps they pertain to health. Perhaps they pertain to legal matters, etc. Financial matters. But a protest, by its very nature, is designed to be a pain in the ass, to make noise, to get in the way, because it's how we get attention for the cause we are here protesting. It's what when people go on strike, that's a protest. They're protesting better wages, better working conditions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they block off access to their workplace. Makes it inconvenient. I think we're losing track. I think. Okay? Again, I remind you, I'm allowed to think. You're allowed to think. We're allowed to disagree. Let's disagree. Let's be civil about it. Okay? these are not nice things. Racial slurs, homophobic slurs, blockading buildings, whatever else. And okay, there's a gray area. Some of it may or may not have been, you know, legal or not. But the protest, the movement in itself, it was big, it was loud, it was brash, it was in our face, it was smelly. By and large, if you're in Edmonton, did this convoy really impact your life? Were you really concerned about it? Or are we really just talking about a small number of people in downtown Ottawa who were inconvenienced, or people in Ottawa who had to get to government buildings, other buildings, shopping malls, restaurants, etc.? And listen, I am empathetic to those running businesses downtown who were impacted by that. That's not lost on me at all, but that's not the point. We're a population in this country of 38.6 million people. Ottawa is a city of 1 million. So there are 37.6 million people in this country. This protest or movement or whatever you want to call it had zero impact on their day-to-day lives. It's a small number of people here in Ottawa who were inconvenienced. Yes, no, agree, disagree, 613-604-6464. I know we've got a call on hold. Were protests not meant to be disruptive? I believe they are. Okay. So again, if this was happening in Edmonton and you live in Ottawa, would you still say that you're inconvenienced or were inconvenienced? If this was happening outside of your city, would you still feel that those protesting should have been removed? Would you still be okay with the civil rights of Canadians being suspended with the Emergency Measures Act? I'm asking you to look at this objectively, because this conversation, like I said, just doesn't seem to be going away. Now, some have weighed in saying that there's nothing to discuss here. No need to tune in. Nope. Of course, the same ones who say that they have nothing to say require 8, 9, 10, 11 posts in order to say that they have nothing to say. Others have suggested that all I'm doing, like I said, is regurgitating what Lowell believes. Look, I played music on the radio for a lot of years. My role was to talk about the Backstreet Boys, Celine Dion, to talk about the music that I was playing. Okay. Don't kid yourself for a second in thinking that, you know, me as a grown-up and as a tax-paying citizen in this country was not able to also formulate opinions and have opinions. Okay. My only outlet, the only permission I was really given in the framework of where I worked, was to be able to turn that into like a top five list or a punchline. Don't kid yourself. In my private life, I watch and have watched for a long time everything from civic politics, municipal politics, provincial politics, federal politics. I have long been very involved in letter writing campaigns, letting my MPs and my MPPs and my elected officials at the municipal level know what I'm thinking. Suddenly, and look, if Lowell did one thing, Lowell allowed me to see that, you know what, I don't need to be that person anymore. I don't need to shut up. And I do a variety of shows, okay? I've got a morning show here with Carrie and I just having great conversations about everyday life, and it's cute and it's light and it's fun and it's fluffy, and I can do that. I'm not a one-trick pony here, guys. I'm absolutely not a one-trick pony. And on this, and this show is different every single day, my goal, my mission is to give everybody a platform to share their voice. So my question to you is this. Oh, by the way, somebody also called my invitation gross. I invited them to listen to the show and participate. Oh, that's gross. Why is that gross, I asked. Well, because I am facilitating differing opinions when one side was organized by and supported by white supremacists. And I've heard that mentioned. Oh, this is all white supremacists. I'm sorry. Has that been proven anywhere? And by the way, I don't support any supremacist. I don't think any of us are supreme over anybody else. Where did that come from? I know a lot of people who participated in that protest. And look, maybe at the roots, that's where, I don't know, maybe. But I know a lot of people who participated in that because they saw the bigger cause and what it became, and they wanted to be heard. And do we not have that right in this country to be heard? So my question, I guess, is this. Was the convoy a protest? Was it a protest? Or was it something else? And if it was something else, then what label is it? And, okay, my question is, should those participating in that, whatever label you attach to it, should they not be allowed to participate? When does a protest become not a protest? Let's go to your phone call, 613-604-6464. You have been waiting an awful long time. Hi, who's this?
Edward.
Edward, appreciate you calling the show. Thank you so, so much. What are your thoughts today?
So it clearly started out as a protest, John.
Yes.
No confusion about that.
Agreed.
At some point, it became more than a protest. You brought up unions earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Unions picket. Unions have rules about picketing. If they break those rules, then they become illegal protests.
Fair.
The same thing happened downtown. It started out as a protest. They broke protest rules, and it became illegal.
Okay. Edward, you're obviously a very intelligent person. I'm going to ask you this, and I said it on the air just a moment ago. When does a protest become not a protest? What changed, in your view, what changed to make this not a protest anymore? Where were the laws starting to become broken?
Obstruction of public property.
Okay.
Protests, by their nature, have to be mobile. A picket line that is standing still is an illegal picket line. So when they stop their trucks, when they park their trucks on public roadways, it becomes illegal. I have no problem with anybody picketing. If you park your truck somewhere where it's legal to be parked,
okay,
and you get your picket sign and you come downtown and you picket properly, you can protest anything you want. Absolutely. You can make noise. You can bring your megaphones. Mm-hmm. You can say what you need to say.
Okay. So I'm hearing you. So you wouldn't have had, so your issue then was with the method used here to blockade roads, to use heavy trucks that could not be moved, obviously, to honk the horns, to have the diesel smells, et cetera. Had they come to Ottawa by any means, bicycle, airplane, even their trucks, et cetera, and stood on Parliament Hill or biked to Parliament Hill, had they been on Parliament Hill and not on Wellington Street, you wouldn't have any issue with it. Is that what I'm kind of hearing you get to with that?
Absolutely. And they don't even have to be on Parliament Hill. They can be marching through downtown like many other protests do.
Got it. I hear you.
They can cross in intersections with their picket signs, and they can picket like union protests do. If you're marching, if you're protesting, absolutely protest all day, all night to your heart's content. But what the truckers came to be doing was obstructing the public use of our downtown area.
Okay.
Illegally. And when they wouldn't move, then something had to be done.
Okay, and on that, you and I will agree. Absolutely. They wouldn't move. Something had to be done, and I think it became clear to everybody that nothing was being done. Was the Emergency Measures Act the only option that was on the table, though? Were there other things, in your opinion, that could have been done?
So here's my thoughts on the Emergency Measures Act.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy tow operators in Ontario and in Ottawa didn't want anything to do with this.
Yep.
And fair to them. Their business relies on towing heavy vehicles when things go wrong for those heavy vehicles.
Yep, I get it. I get the reasons for not wanting, you know, this is a customer of mine, and now you want me to be there on the wrong end of this? No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if the Emergency Measures Act is required to compel these heavy tow operators to do this work with indemnity, with, you know, hey, man, it wasn't my choice. I didn't have any choice to do this. I had to come in and take your truck. Then yes, it was necessary to indemnify those heavy tow operators so that they didn't get the brunt of the abuse from the truck drivers.
But is that in and of itself then? And listen, I'm hearing every word you're saying, and I appreciate, you know, your point of view. And these are valid arguments. And this is what I want the show to be. I want, like I said, everybody to be heard. And again, I don't have to agree with you. In a lot of instances here, I am. I guess my question is, I mean, the Emergency Measures Act didn't just allow tow truck drivers to come in with indemnity, as you say. It suspended the civil rights of Canadians. So do you agree then that maybe, if not the Emergency Measures Act, then what? And if we don't have an answer to the then what, do we not have to then be calling on our leaders, so-called leaders in every level of government, to come up with some law then that identifies and specifically says and spells out what the difference is between a protest on the Hill and a protest that then spills on beyond the gates on the Hill?
Well, I think those laws exist. I think unions are required to follow those laws when they're picketing,
okay,
when they're on strike. I think protesters who come to Ottawa for whatever purpose they have to protest, mm-hmm, whether it be Black Lives Matter or whether it be anything else, they get their protest permits, they pay whatever fees they are, and then they follow the rules of protesting. I think those laws exist. I think those laws weren't followed in this case, and I think our elected officials and our police will need to be held to account for their poor planning for this protest.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there whatsoever. We have some serious questions that we need answers to from our policing officials at every level. I agree with you there.
Yeah. At the end of the day, because of the failures of elected officials, the failures of police officials, the failures of everybody else down the chain of command, I think the Emergency Measures Act was the only way to physically end this protest. I don't think they were going to leave. I don't think there was a negotiated end to this.
So you're saying then that it was employed as a last resort. They didn't have any other option except to use that. And that concerns me to hear you say that. And, because when I read the Emergency Measures Act, it should only ever be put in place when the government is under threat of siege or being overtaken or overthrown. And I have yet to read or see anything that speaks to, as big and as ugly as this protest, as this illegal occupation, if you want to call it that, was, I'm not aware of any specific threat to the government. Are you?
Well, I don't know that there was a specific threat to government. There was talk of, you know, the People's Council overseeing government, and there was, you know, talk from fringes of the protest,
sure,
about taking over the government or replacing the government or those kinds of things. I don't think there was a direct threat.
I've joked about taking over the government and running it myself.
But I do believe the protest after the first weekend became an illegal protest and needed to be dealt with. It should have been dealt with much quicker than it was. But again, failures of policing and failures of government leaders to step in and discuss and negotiate failed massively.
Listen,
and that's what led to nearly a month of occupation.
It did. It went on too long. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. It was time for them to leave after a week, 10 days, 2 weeks max. No disagreement there. Hey, listen, I think you've proven the point that, you know, we can absolutely carry on a conversation about this. I think you've raised a lot of valid points. You've answered certainly a lot of question marks in my mind, and I appreciate you taking the time to call and especially hang on hold there while I, you know, blathered on for quite a few minutes. I hope you'll call the show again. Very thoughtful comments. Thank you very much.
Well, pleasure always to speak to you, John.
Oh, thank you, Edward. All right. 613-604-6464 is the number here. 613-604-6464. The show is brought to you by McCarthy Automotive. Speaking of vehicles, and I hate to tie McCarthy into this, but hey, if you are driving a vehicle and it's just occupying your driveway. There you go. There's my out. Because you can't get it going anywhere. It needs some serious, serious work. It needs somebody who knows what they're doing to look at it and someone who you know you can trust. Please, would you consider McCarthy Automotive? Friends of mine for a lot of years. There's a reason why when you drive by their location at 1150 Heron Road, you will see all kinds of some of the biggest names that run fleet vehicles parked outside. They trust McCarthy Automotive to get them back on the road. It in a cost-effective way. They know that the vehicle is going to be working when it hits the road again. If they're putting their trust in McCarthy Automotive, you can as well. And remember, if you have had a wheel off for any service at all, be it brakes, tire changeover, after 100 kilometers, get your nuts retorqued. Okay. McCarthy Automotive, that's a free service they provide. Okay. 1150 Heron Road, McCarthyAutomotive.ca. There's Woodenhead. Torque your nuts. Exactly. Ann says, you are labeling yourself a liberal if you were okay with Trudeau imposing the Emergency Measures Act. It definitely goes down political voting lines from what I have observed. But if you would not have been okay with Stephen Harper doing that, you should not have been okay with Trudeau doing it either. Liberals are hypocrites, clearly. All right. That's Ann's opinion on Facebook. Tony says the police admitted that they had other avenues of action to use before the Emergency Measures Act was invoked. Exactly. And yes, I understand, you know, part of that would have involved tow trucks having to tow these guys out of there and the very tow trucks that depend on these guys, these truckers, you know, out of there. They rely on those trucks. They're customers too. I get the optics of that. If I'm a tow truck operator, I don't really want to have to do this. Let's go Woodenhead. It boils down to how our leaders spin the news. There are many sides to one story, and the government story is spun as fact. The mainstream media didn't show the other side either. And that's fine. That's not really the question here, though. The question is, when does a protest become not a protest? You know, and if you consider this to be a protest, did the government have any right to end it? Seeing as we have a right to protest, unlike in China, where they don't. But the prime minister feels, and rightfully so, and I agree with him on this, they should have the right to protest. All right, Tracy says, sorry to say this, but I was so proud of the eventual enforcement and how they methodically shut down the occupation. It restored my faith that in a crisis, there was the potential to shut it down. Okay, Tracy, I hear you saying that. But Tracy, how do you feel knowing that at any moment in any of this, because of the Emergency Measures Act, your government, they didn't, but they could have, because under the Emergency Measures Act, they have the right to go into your bank account and freeze your bank account. If they even believe, they don't need to show any proof. They don't need to have any evidence. They don't need affidavits, anything. When the Emergency Measures Act was in place, if they felt, Tracy, that you had donated to that convoy, they could have frozen your bank account. You would have been unable to pay your visa. You would have been unable to pay your mortgage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just because you didn't experience any of this doesn't mean it wasn't there. Is that not concerning to you, though? That they used that. Okay, great. You're happy that the truckers went away and enough is enough is enough. That's great. But there's a lot more to it than just moving a few trucks out of the way in Ottawa. Every single citizen in this country, their rights were put on hold. The very rights that we were there saying, hey, wait a minute, we have rights. Tracy, listen, I want to get your opinion on that. Please, I'll hang in here a little longer so you have a chance to answer back. You're on YouTube, so keep my eyes open on that. Daniel says, if it was a reasonable expectation when having purchased a home in the Glebe to expect traffic noise, crowds, loud music, etc. during events and past exhibitions at the Civic Center, Parliament Hill with its surrounding inhabitants should anticipate and welcome the event, and even more so. Yeah, I get that. Not really the argument we're making here. And listen, you know, I don't wish that upon anybody. I feel for the people who live in the Glebe and they experience concerts and stuff like that. Yeah, it's part of the territory. I live out near the airport. Do I have a right to complain about airplane noise? No, not really. I knew the airport was there. But every now and then, you know, there's something there's just incessant noises and stuff, and it's above anything that you would have expected reasonably. And I understand if I live downtown. But again, okay, if you live downtown, that was a nuisance. That was an inconvenience. It pissed you off. I have every confidence that it is. I know we heard from people calling in. They were angry. They were fed up. Okay. And I get that. But does someone in Winnipeg or Edmonton or Montreal or Halifax or insert Canadian city or town here, does that really impact them? No. It was a minor inconvenience to a very small minority in this country. When you think of 38 million versus the number of people directly impacted and inconvenienced by that, that number is very, very small. So it comes down to, was that a protest or was it something else? And look, I'm open to you telling me that it was, in your opinion, it was something else. Okay. All right. Wooden says the protest could have ended the first week had Trudeau talked with organizers instead of running like a coward. Agreed. And we've been down that road a million, million times. But you're calling it a protest, so that answers, I guess, in a roundabout kind of way, what I'm asking here. A protest. All right. Tracy says, yeah, I. I think there's more to come. I will hang on for that just a couple of moments longer. Cindy says, it makes me wonder if Captain... again, his name is Justin Trudeau. Love him or not, his name is Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. I'm really trying to respect the office, regardless of what you think of the individual who holds it now. But okay, it makes me wonder if had spoke to the convoy where it would have gone. Listen, I agree with you, Cindy, and Woodenhead just said the same thing moments ago. That's, in my opinion, all that needed to be done. I don't think it needed to get to the point that it got to. A prime minister, an elected official, in my opinion, has a responsibility to listen to the electorate, you and me. We knew this convoy was coming. They announced it. It was all over social media. Canadians waved and flew flags cheering these people on, knowing what they were coming to Ottawa to do, regardless of where this thing was founded and whatever you believe it originally stood for. By the time it got here, it wasn't that at all. It was something much, 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 much bigger. Our elected officials, they know going in, there is going to be people who don't agree with the decisions you are making. And I can't really ask for more than an elected official than hear me out, hear my side, hear other people's sides, and make the best decision you can for the greater good based on the information you're given. Running and hiding from it and not having that conversation and not listening, unless there is some known security threat to you, and I don't think there was. I mean, okay, I'll give him the credit. He had COVID. Okay. The Prime Minister had COVID. He was still able to do Zoom calls with world leaders. He was still able to participate in votes in the House of Commons via Zoom. Would a Zoom call have not sufficed? I don't think the Emergency Measures Act was required. And I don't think we'd be having this conversation about protests and breaking up protests otherwise. And he wouldn't look so... His words wouldn't be so unfortunate and wouldn't strike me and many others the way they struck me when he talks about the Chinese people's right to protest. When in fact, a lot of people... when they look at the situation with the convoy, really look at it as, well, they were protesting, and you took that away. And you can agree or disagree with that. That's just how a lot of people see that. When the hot tubs and bouncy castles were erected, it turned from a protest to an occupation. That's when the line was crossed, just my opinion. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Again, let's get that on the books. Let's put some legal language of law in place so that we know this is what the difference is between a protest and an occupation. And maybe that exists. I don't know. Point me to it. Tracy says, I have to think about that more. I guess because I wasn't doing anything illegal, I didn't have any concerns. And that's kind of the point I was getting to, Tracy, with, you know, you think it was the right thing to do and you were glad it was done. And we talked about this on a previous show. I really believe that and exactly what you said. Most Canadians weren't even aware of the impact that that had on them. We had a whole show on that. That, you know, you could be under the Emergency Measures Act, it didn't happen, but it's basically the newer version of the War Measures Act. You could be walking down a street, and if a police officer wanted to chuck you in the back of the car and take you to jail, they didn't really have to have a whole lot of reasons to do that. Now, I'm being extreme with that, obviously, but your Charter of Rights and Freedoms was essentially suspended. That's what the Emergency Measures Act does. A lot of people would say, you know, we were lucky it only affected a select few. Edward says, you have an absolute right to protest legally. That's the key here that people are missing. Convoy supporters miss the key part of that statement, the legal part. Edward, come on. I recognize their grievances, but not their method of expressing their feelings. Back to Tracy says, I appreciate people's right to protest, though, and have done so myself. Amen. Absolutely. Look at that. We're agreeing on stuff here, guys and gals. And people that don't subscribe to either, we're agreeing on stuff. And last word, we got a text coming in here. Let's go to this person here. FYI, at 2:30, Music Stream overrided live online show feed. I was afraid of that. Wasn't paying attention to the clock. All right, so you're watching on Facebook, you're watching on YouTube, you're watching on Twitch. Aren't you the lucky ones? We've carried on with the show, apparently on BTR. My microphone is on and it's interrupting the music show. Last word to Woodenhead. It's the Prime Minister's duty to unify Canadians, not divide them. Justin Trudeau failed in that regard. That question was posed to him in the inquiry and he flubbed that too. Listen, this is a conversation every day. I'm not trying to be more right. And you know what? I'm also trying to get myself out of the lane I've been in for a long, long time. I have an opinion. You have an opinion. What you don't have is enough places to share those opinions and maybe, again, as I like to say, find some common ground. That's what I want to do here. That's why I have this show. And based on the numbers I'm seeing on the podcast and the number of people tuning in, it seems to be resonating with some, and that's encouraging. And as long as it is, I'll keep doing this. So with that said, we'll be back tomorrow.